The Lord bless you, Harbor of Hope. I am so excited to be back with you once again. It is my supreme honor and privilege to serve you again, to minister the word of the Lord. I am Jamal Watson. I am a church planter in Wichita, Kansas. The Lord sent me from the Southeast to come and plant and pastor a church here in Wichita, Kansas. And I am excited about what God is doing in His church. His church universal. I'm excited about the journey that he has all of us on, a journey of faith that is not indeed easy, but it's worth it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your grace and your kindness. I thank you so much for all that you're doing. I thank you for what you're doing here. I thank you for what you're doing at Harbor of Hope. I thank you for your grace and for your kindness and for your love. I thank you that you alone are good and you alone are God and you alone are holy. You alone are righteous and wonderful. And so we thank you for this opportunity to share your word. May you use me to share what you would like to share with this church family as we continue to live according to your word. Let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 14. We're going to begin at verse number 22. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, we're going to begin at verse number 22. It reads like this. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples to get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he sent the crowds away. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was already a long distance from land, tossed and battered by the waves, for the wind was against him. And in the fourth watch of the night, around about 3 to 6 a.m., Jesus came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately he spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter replied to him, "Lord, if it is really you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the effects of the wind, he was frightened and began to sink. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out, extended his hand, and caught him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshiped him with awe-inspired reverence, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I want to use for a thought on this message, Jesus, be our vision. Jesus, be our vision. There's a lot of things going on, beloved. Our lives are wrapped in so many challenging moments here in 2021. And there's so many things that would distract us away from what God has called us to be and do. But as I was praying about what to share with you this time, I just felt this need to share with you about the focus that comes with a follower of Jesus, that we are people who have been called and been called to a place of singular focus on our one true Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want us to go through this scripture verse by verse to see some nuggets of wisdom and revelation that we could gain as we come to this moment. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, comes after him feeding thousands upon thousands of people, a miraculous buffet of thousands of people being fed by the very hand of God. And Jesus encounters right at this moment that he has his disciples. He says he directs them to get into the boat, to go on the other side, to go ahead of him on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. This is a beautiful moment here that Jesus does a miraculous thing, and then he directs his disciples to go ahead of him as they continue their journey. This is wonderful. But one thing that we find in this moment is there are times when the Lord will direct your path. There are times when the Lord will guide you, and then you face a storm. It's one thing to face a storm because of a mistake that we made, or to face a storm because of something that we did wrong. But what happens when you obey God and then you face a challenge? What happens when you obey the Lord and then you face turbulence, you face wind and waves? What happens when you deal with a situation that is bigger than you as a result of your obedience to the one who is the Most High? This is a situation in which we follow the Lord's lead, and look where he leads us. He says, after he had dismissed the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain by himself to pray. I want you to notice here in the scripture, especially in the Gospels, Jesus gives us a template for how to do life. He is not just our Savior and our Lord, and now he is God, but he gives us a template on how we are to live our lives. He indeed is the great teacher. And so Jesus, after doing this wonderful, miraculous feat of feeding these thousands and thousands of people, he dismisses the crowds. He sends his disciples. He dismisses the crowds. And then he goes into prayer. Because where we have prayer, we have power. It is only in the place of prayer that we can gain direction, guidance, wisdom, knowledge, that we can gain assurance of the plan of God, that we can know his purpose and gain the power to fulfill it. It is in the place of prayer that we find ourselves where we can gain wisdom for today and hope for tomorrow. Jesus, after doing this wonderful feat, could have gone to sleep. He could have gone in the boat with his disciples, but he gave us a template, an example of what it's like to do life with the Holy Spirit, with God the Father, and with Jesus the Son. He goes to a solitary place to pray, and he goes there and stays there a good while. Because it says in verse 24, but the boat by this time, so Jesus had been in prayer for a while, by this time was already a long distance from land, tossed and battered by the waves, for the wind was against it. Remember, Jesus told these disciples to get in this boat, and it should have been smooth sailing, right? No, not always. There are times when the Lord allows storms and situations in our lives that we don't understand, because even if your situation isn't good, the Lord will work it out for your good. It calls back to memory Romans 8 and 28, how all things work together. Even the things that were done against us that may not be good to us, the Lord knows how to use in his providence everything for his good, so that he may get the glory out of our lives. And so we have to trust in faith, believing that when he gives us a word, we can obey it and follow the leader. So Jesus is now going to encounter his disciples in a new way, continuing to show them another side of him. So the boat was a long distance off, tossed and battered by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. It could have been, he could have got another boat. He could have done something. No, he wanted to show them another side of him, another side of his deity, of his divinity, of his nature, so that they could continue to grow and learn from who he is. And so we see Jesus walking on water as if he was walking on land. Another miraculous sign that he is indeed the Messiah that was foretold. So when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said it was a ghost. Beloved, I don't want us to miss this point, because oftentimes we may get a little on the disciples for being full of doubt or full of fear, but they had never seen this before. Indeed, we have never seen this before. A man walking on water. They said, this looks kind of like our Jesus. This looks kind of like the guy that we've been following. But he's doing something that he's never done before. He's doing something extraordinary. He's doing something unconventional. He's doing something untraditional. He is doing something we have never seen. And oftentimes the Lord will blow our minds in doing things that we have not recognized before. And we must trust that it's him, even when it's unfamiliar. We must trust that it's the Lord, even when things seem to be going awry. We must trust in the God of our salvation, that no matter what situation we encounter him in, he is constant, he is steady. Indeed, he is walking on the water instead of the water overtaking him, because he is the one that is above it all. He is the Most High God. And so we see the disciples who are rightfully so frightened because they don't understand or recognize what the Lord is doing. Beloved, we have to be so in tune with the Lord and in tune with the Spirit that we know in what time what he is doing as he is leading and guiding us. And so they cried out in fear and said, it's a ghost. But Jesus immediately spoke to them. Verse 27, Jesus immediately spoke to them saying, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Beloved, I don't know if you're in a storm at this moment. I don't know if you're going through something that's bigger than you, that's tougher than you. And the Lord has tried to encounter you in that moment. And you may have some fear, some trepidation, some anxiety. You may not know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know one person who does. You may not know how things are going to turn out, but I know one who does. Isn't it good to know that God is bigger than we are, that he is Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, so that right here in the middle, we can trust him even when we can't trace his hand. We can trust his heart. We can trust his integrity. We can trust his character and his nature. Isn't it good to know that in the storms of life, we can find a steady constant in the God of our salvation? The one who is the uncreated one, who creates and makes and sustains all things. We find refuge and strength even on turbulent seas. So Jesus says to his disciples, and I believe he's saying to us, when you're facing a storm, when you're facing rain, when you're facing the winds and waves of life, and you're in the boat, you're in the family of God, you're following the will and purpose of God, don't be afraid. He says, take heart, take courage, allow strength to come to you, even in a moment where you feel physically or mentally or emotionally weak. Allow the strength of God. I love what he said to Joshua, be strong and courageous because I am with you. Jesus is saying to his disciples, don't fear. It's I. I'm here. The Emmanuel, the God with us, is here. And I am your strength. And I am your courage. He says, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't fear the storm. Don't fear what you don't know. Know that I am that I am. Verse 28 says, Peter replied to him, you know, rambunctious Peter. Peter replied to him, Lord, if it is really you, command me to come to you on the water. Jesus replies to his request and says, come. And so Peter begins to walk on the word on the water. Jesus gave Peter the ability to walk on water as he was walking on water according to his word. Jesus says, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Now, if this story ended here, this would be wonderful. This would be amazing. This would be incredible. Peter, a disciple, is following after the disciple maker, Jesus, because a disciple is a life learner, a student. And so the student is following the teacher. This is tremendous. But as we know, the story doesn't end there. The chapter isn't over. Verse number 30 says, but when Peter saw the wind, indeed the effects of the wind and the waves, Peter was frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. And so Peter got distracted. As long as he was focused, as long as Jesus was his vision, as long as he was continuing to look at Jesus and not minding the winds and the waves, he was walking on the word on the water. But the moment he started to pay more attention to his surroundings than to the one who created him, pay more attention to the wind and the waves and the boisterousness of the storm, he began to sink because he stopped relying on the word and started relying on the world. He stopped relying on the word, who is Jesus, the word made flesh. He stopped relying on what Jesus had said, which says, come to me, come. He stopped relying on that and started to rely on his own ability, his own strength, And in our own strength, beloved, we don't have an ability to walk on water. In our own strength, we don't have an ability to do the things of God. In our own strength, we don't have an ability to live righteously. It is by Jesus' blood that redeemed us, and it's by his spirit that we're able to live righteously. So in our own strength, in our own ability, we don't have this, we don't have it to not sink. When life happens, when situations happen, we often sink because we're trusting in ourselves more than we trust in the one who created us. And so Jesus is ready, willing, and able to be the one that can have us walk above it, walk above the water and the waves. But we find ourselves oftentimes being distracted away from the destiny and the promise of God. And so there's good news, always good news when it comes to Jesus. Jesus immediately reached out and extended his hand, and he caught him and saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you allow yourself to be drawn in two different directions? Why did you allow yourself to be drawn away from the things that God has called you to? I told you to come to me. I told you to come with me. Why did you get drawn away to different directions?" But Jesus says to Peter, I know that you had little faith and you doubted, but I need you to understand something, that I am your rescuer, that I am the one that rescues and saves you. I'm the one that gives you all that you need, both now and in circumstances to come. And so by the time they got back in the boat, when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. It's amazing how when we get through certain situations and life moments where the Lord is trying to teach us patience, or the Lord is trying to teach us to trust him, that the wind will cease at the right time. The wind will cease right when it needs to. Then those in the boat worshiped him and they said, "Truly, you are the Son of God. There's nobody that can do the things that you do." Beloved, we must trust Jesus. We must allow him to be our vision. We must allow him to lead us. We have to get in the boat. We must allow him to be the one that is our focus. We must not get distracted by the winds and the waves of life. And we must allow him to be the one we worship. Everybody worships. It's just a matter of what you worship. Everybody gives and surrenders their life to something, whether it's themselves, their job, whether it's Jesus, or whether it's something else. Everyone worships. It's just a matter of what you worship. And so will we allow Jesus to lead and direct us? Will we be like the disciples who were made to get in the boat and go on the other side? Even when it's uncomfortable, will we allow Jesus to be our focus? Will we not allow the winds and the waves of life, the storms that arise, the challenges that come, or even the successes that come? Will we not allow the shiny silver or the glittering gold or the storms of life to distract us away from Jesus being our focus? And lastly, will we allow worship to arise? Will we surrender our lives to the Lord and allow worship to come from our hearts and allow him to be our vision? Without a vision, people perish. People cast off restraint. But with a vision, we know where we're going. Without a vision, anywhere will do. But with a vision, we have an aim. We have a goal. We have a pursuit. May Jesus be our vision. May he be the thing that we go after. May we seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And when we know that he alone is God, that he alone is good, and that he alone is our vision. May this be our declaration: Jesus, you are God and we are not. Therefore, we continually reset our hearts, our minds, and our eyes upon you, knowing that you are good and we are loved. Father, I pray that Jesus, you would be our vision, that we would see things clearly through your perspective, that we would allow you to be our voice that is louder than any other, be our leader, our keeper, our guide. Thank you for being the one that died and rose, that we may be born again into your family. And may you be our vision. May we not be distracted away by the turbulence and by the storms of life, but may we allow you to be the one that we trust forever and ever. Let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make your face shine upon you and give you peace.